and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. This is your host, Dave Trumbore, wishing you a happy 2015. Happy New Year, everybody, and thanks for coming back and listening to us. Joining me, as always, is Sean Paul Ellis. How are you today, sir?
David, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, buddy. How was your New Year's Eve? How's your New Year going so far?
You know, it was... I had a fantastic New Year's Eve. Thank you. Honk, honk. And, yeah, it was great, man.
I feel like we need to bring in, like, those bicycle horns back into vogue from 15 years ago. Oh, boy. Yeah, mine was good. It was pretty chill. Just kind of hung out, saw some friends, had some good food. Watched the I didn't get to watch the possum ball drop, unfortunately. Hat tip to Josh Stankus out there. Didn't get to see the possum ball drop. Sorry about that. But yeah, we got a peach drop here in Georgia, down here in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
It's a big old peach that looks like a butt, and it's up on a pole, and it drops down. So it's real fun for the kids.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
good time. Did you have any interesting drinks over the New Year's festivities?
I was at a friend's house that he has a bar in his basement. Hat tip to Greg Chesterton.
Very nice.
And Greg was serving up a Port City essential pale ale the entire night.
A local brew.
Yes, I like very it. Local.
Yet
very
another,
wonderful.
Hat tip to those folks over there.
Hat tip. I feel like we're just gonna. I feel like this is becoming slowly like just a podcast of us being like, "So, what'd you drink this weekend?"
Yeah,
Dave?
Slowly. Just eventually, it'll be halfway, and then just 100%. We've done a hat tip hat trick so far, by the way.
I know.
Yeah,
gosh.
It's pretty good. That's a record. It's one for the ages. You drinking anything good tonight, by the way? That was my segue into that.
I am. I am drinking a Anderson Valley. It's their Kimmy, the Yink, and the Holy
are you
and the Holy Goza.
So Sean told me about this one a little while ago. I've been like bending over backwards to try to find it around here. It's around here somewhere. I just have to get to it. But yeah, why don't you tell the folks what the hell that crazy name drink is about? Is about? What's
is
that
about?
Drink about, Sean?
What's that drink about?
Oh, my God.
It's a very older, I believe, German style. It's tart and refreshing.
That's all you need to know, tart and refreshing.
Tart and refreshing. Mm. So I'm looking forward. David, what are you drinking tonight?
Oh, buddy, I'm enjoying a wintry brew. It is Leinenkugel's Snowdrift Vanilla Porter. Now, I tried something silly, listeners. I got it in my head from this podcast that I listened to that the old-timey folk used to like to drink their ale at, like, coffee temperature. So pretty friggin' hot. So I gave that a shot. I do not recommend it. I especially do not recommend it with this particular brew, which is delightful otherwise. I'm enjoying it right now. It is good at room temperature or cold. I'm a fan of the porters and the stouts and the darker brews, so this is a good time of year for those. So, yeah, Leinenkugel's, funny name, tasty beer. I don't think that's their slogan, but it should be. It definitely
it should be.
Yeah.
It really should be.
It is now. Hat tip to Leinenkugel's.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, guess what has nothing to do with beer?
The fact that we are starting off our January Nicktoons month.
Yeah, New Year's Nicktoons. Good
New
times
Nicktoons.
All around.
Mm.
We actually, I don't know if we really talked about how we were going to start this off, because we just kind of looked at the original ones, and they all started like the same time, the same day. They all debuted on the same day.
Yeah, so, I mean, the original three did.
Yeah. Do you know if, like, this was the order that we're doing them in? Do you know if that was the order of, like, their actual airing, or just the order that's online?
I believe we're very close. Yes.
Yeah,
I mean,
so.
I know that Doug came on at 10 o'clock Eastern, followed by Rugrats, followed by Ren and Stimpy at 11.
So that's the order we'll be doing it in. So that actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So yeah, if you follow that logic, we're going to be talking about Doug today. Honk honk.
Honk honk.
Yeah.
Oh man. Jeez. I did you watch this show, Dave?
Oh, I love this show. Yeah. I remember watching the show. I mean, I pretty much watched all the ones we're going to talk about. It wasn't until later on, like, Nicktoons were a staple for me growing up. It wasn't until the later episodes when I was a little older that I stopped watching. Kind of like, I think it was like the Rocket, what was it, Rocket, Team Rocket or something?
It was like Team Rocket,
That's from Pokemon, I think, but it's something like that, yeah. Yeah, but I stopped watching around... I don't know. My brother watched stuff like the Wild Thornberries and Team Rocket or whatever it was and all that. And I just kind of watched it with him, but not, you know, not like Doug and Rugrats and Ren and Stimpy and Real Monsters and Rocco. And I love that stuff, man. So this is going to be a fun month to talk about this.
Yeah.
What about you?
No,
I mean,
I did too. I think I have some of my fondest memories, like growing up, like my parents, divorced like when I was, mm-hmm. when I was very young. And so I would spend a lot of weekends with my dad and, you know, him doing like the whole weekend warrior thing. And, you know, it was just, it was cool because I have very fond memories of waking up like Sunday mornings, hanging out with my dad and my sister and like sitting down at 10 o'clock and watching, you know, like 90 minutes worth of cartoons that like everybody was involved, like everybody was involved in. And it was also, I mean, there was nothing that came across in this show that wasn't family friendly or family oriented. Right. So, I mean, like you could sit down with, I think I was maybe,
you're probably around 10 or 11 when it came out.
I was around 10,
yeah,
10, 11, like when this came out. And so like, you know, it was just good, like, cause this came out in 90, 91, was the original airing. So I would have been 11 years old. So, I mean, you know, just to be able to share something like that with, you know, like with your sister, your dad, like it was just a lot of fun.
Well, hey, so guess what? Doug, the character himself was actually 11 years old too. So that was right. You know, it was aimed
at you. I really like, cause I have some interesting questions about this show later for later in the episode, but I mean, it was definitely like, there were definitely a lot of things that really like hit home, at that time, like watching this show. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, if anything, it was super relatable, for where I was as a human on this planet, like at that time.
That's exactly what they were aiming for. Actually, speaking of that, let's kind of talk about Doug and Rugrats and Ren and Stimpy just briefly as like a real just general conversation, because these are three fairly different cartoons aimed at, I don't know, Rugrats is a tough one to pin down, but I feel like Doug was aimed at, you know, people of your age and definitely mine too. I was a little bit younger, but I still loved watching Doug. Rugrats was a little strange because it was about obviously all these babies, but they also, it was the world of these babies and they all talked to each other and they could all understand each other, even if the parents couldn't do that. So it was kind of weird because it was like, who is this being aimed at? Because I feel like kids, young kids, older kids, and then even adults could find the humor in different things in Rugrats. We'll get into that next week. But then Ren and Stimpy was definitely, they pushed the envelope. It was almost like something you would expect to see on MTV rather than Nickelodeon at the time. I feel like that one drew a lot of attention, a lot of negative attention. So that'll be a fun one to talk about in a couple of weeks. But anything to add, kind of just like from an overall picture?
You know, not from like an overall picture, but I guess just from like a personal like story for this. Like, I remember there was a lot of times that like I felt like Doug and Rugrats continually produced new episodes, and I feel like for Ren and Stimpy they got stuck in like this maybe like 6 to 8 episode kind of cycle.
Oh, really?
Where there were like no new Ren and Stimpy episodes, and so like every week I would sit down and kind of like get very excited for a new Ren and Stimpy episode, and it was always the same thing.
I don't remember that, but I can.
And I just like, and like it became one of those things that like my dad got just as excited about it as I did. And so like every week, like he was like, he was really kind of pumped. He's just like, oh man, I hope it's a new episode. Like, I hope we get something new. And I'm just like, me too, Dad. And like, and it just didn't happen. But like, he got so enthusiastic and excited about this, like even more so than I did, you know, for these new episodes. And we just watched the same Ren and Stimpy episodes every single week.
It's basically like being a 2.5, 3 years. It's like being a fan of like a terrible sports team, and you're just like, you don't want to be a fan of them anymore, but you love them so much, so you just come back at the beginning of each season. You're just like, maybe this year it'll be different, maybe this year we'll go all the way, and then it's always the same old crap.
It's really like rooting for the Eagles.
Oof, the Eagles. Ooh.
Yeah, I said it.
I wasn't even going to call the team out, the Cleveland Browns. I wasn't going to call anybody out, but I mean, there it is. So I don't know. But yeah, we're going to talk Doug today. Doug's going to kick off our New Year's Nicktoons. Do you want to take the history of this, or do you want me to give?
Yeah, absolutely. Doug is an American animated sitcom. It was created by Jim Jenkins. He created and developed this idea from like a bunch of like sketches that he had created over the course of like the 80s. And it was very interesting, kind of going back and looking at the history. I did not realize that this was autobiographical.
Yeah.
About Jim Jenkins's life. And so he grew up in Virginia, which is a wonderful state if you've never been there before. I'm slightly biased. And so a lot of these characters, you know, were based on people that he knew growing up. that he had interactions with. And so originally it was developed to be a children's book, mm-hmm. And nobody was interested in it until Nickelodeon purchased it. And so it was just, it landed in sort of the iteration that we saw that premiered in 1991, alongside, as we mentioned, Rugrats and Ren and Stimpy. Right. The series consisted of four seasons and it had 52 episodes. And so that was from the 91 to 94 timeframe, which is reasonable and respectable based on all the other shows that we've watched.
Thank you for being
one season, 1,000 episodes. 65
episodes, which is great. I mean, it's like 13 episodes a year, respectable. They actually aired them once a week instead of once a day. During the week, and you could tell because the quality was there. Maybe not the quality of like the artwork itself, because they have a weird kind of like sketchbook style that they probably kept from his original drawings, but the quality of the storytelling was there, which I appreciate. Yes. But we'll get into that.
And so it was I was reminded about this earlier today actually, when somebody had mentioned to me if I remembered whether or not the point in time when Disney acquired the rights to Doug and started premiering new episodes. And so I don't remember, like, I remember this a little bit, but I feel bad because I'm not really super hip on this Disney Doug. And maybe we'll have to go back and we'll watch Disney Doug at a later point in time. But we are really just focusing on the original Nicktoons Doug that premiered for those first four seasons. And I also want to recommend, or just mention, I don't think we talked about this earlier, Dave, is that if you are an Amazon Prime member, you can watch the first four seasons of Doug for free as a part of your Prime membership. I feel like we're hawking Amazon, but I mean, honestly, if you're not an Amazon Prime member, like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, it's a wonderful service. Just subscribe.
It pays for itself. I don't know how many times over. Brought to you by Amazon.com. Not really.
But they also have, for all the cartoons that we're going to be talking about, during Nicktoons January, they are all available on there. So Rugrats, Ren and Stimpy, Ah, Real Monsters, and Rocko's Modern Life are all up there with multiple seasons. I think all eight seasons of Rocko's Modern Life is available.
That is going to be a time sink for me because I remember loving that show. It is just so bizarre and just so unique.
I mean, to kind of go with this, when it premiered on Disney, they put it on ABC's Saturday morning. This was a Sunday morning cartoon, but this transitioned over to being a Saturday morning cartoon at some point. They had a lot of merchandise that kind of came out of this show, and everything, I guess, kind of came to a conclusion, with Doug's first movie. Now, I don't know if they they called it Doug's first movie with the idea that there would be a Doug's second movie. There was not. It began and ended with, the theatrical endeavors of Doug began and ended with Doug's first movie.
Did you watch it?
I didn't. It's available as well. I think the thing that's challenging for me to, before we kind of dig into the synopsis of the show, is that there was such a drastic change in animation style between the original Nickelodeon and Disney, as well as also in the voice actors,
I remember the voice actor being like a bit of a controversy, and we can talk about them once we get into the characters too, but I don't remember so much the animation style, because I honestly don't think I watched the Disney version. I can't remember it. So if it was that different, I don't remember watching Disney at all.
I think I watched like a couple episodes, and I kind of just like, I don't know that I wasn't loving it, or I just didn't like the changes, or maybe I think I was 16 or 17 at that point. Maybe I was so, sarcastic and ironically detached at that point that I was just like, no, it's not for me. But I don't remember too much about it myself. So I'm curious to go back and watch that as well. But I mean, that's the history for the show. Dave, you want to kind of sum this up in three words?
Three words? No. I'm just going to read directly from the paragraph from Wikipedia, because that's much easier. We're going to talk about a few of the episodes from the show anyway. So we're going to go over kind of like the common themes that you see, maybe compared to some other shows we've talked about here on Saturday Morning Cartoons. But basically, we have Doug. A show focused on an early adolescent life of its title character, Douglas Doug Funny, who experiences common predicaments while attending school in his new hometown of Bluffington. Doug narrates each story in his journal, and the show incorporates many imagination sequences. The series addresses numerous topics, including trying to fit in, platonic and romantic relationships, self-esteem, bullying, and rumors. Numerous episodes center on Doug's attempts to impress his classmate and crush, the best name ever, Patty Mayonnaise.
Patty Mayonnaise.
Patty Mayonnaise. What was the chick from The Wonder Years? What was her name?
Winnie Cooper?
Winnie Cooper. I feel like Winnie Cooper, Patty Mayonnaise, Topanga, whatever her last name was.
I think it's just Topanga.
Just Topanga. Just a one name.
Just Topanga.
I feel like those are some of the best, like, crush names in the history of television, animated or otherwise. Yeah. Patty Mayonnaise. I don't know where to go from there. Here's where we're going to go. We're going to talk intro theme song, because I'm curious to see how this fits in with your theory, since there are no real words to it.
Yeah, you know, it was, I was curious, like, this theme song, I didn't remember it, and then I put it on.
Oh, yeah. Instant recognition.
And it was, like, instant nostalgia. Like, it is beautiful. It is so wonderful, and I don't know what it was. It's very simple, and it's done sort of with like a scatting.
Yeah.
Like is that what it was?
Yeah,
like
a little bit
it was
of it, yeah.
Sort of but I mean it was so simple in nature, and it sort of introduced at least I guess, you know, in a non-visual medium some of the character traits that you would see, like, you know, you notice that, like, you know, obviously Doug and Porkchop are going to be the stars of the show.
Come onto the screen, though, too, because it's not like, you know, we've talked about the different styles of intros before. It's not a clip montage. It's not a mini movie introduction. It's not a hybrid.
Yeah, it's not a hybrid.
It's completely original and all its own.
Yes.
And I thought it was really cool.
And it is. It's if you're looking for, like, a great intro, this is, like, a prime example, because, like, they intended to make it catchy and fun. And it was something where, like, I mean, to jump kind of in, like, Doug's, like, big thing is, like, he's always writing in a journal.
Right.
Like, he's always consistently writing in a journal. That's pretty much how every single episode starts out. And so, like, it's kind of like a pencil drawing a line kind of like across journal paper. And it's Doug lifting up that line and kind of emerging from back behind it. And so, like, I don't know if it's sort of like breaking the fourth wall or just showing, like, sort of general playfulness, like, of Doug and, like, the characters that you're going to be looking at. But I mean, I remember, like, as I watched it earlier, I was just like, oh my God, like,
it's just cool. It grabs your attention. It's something different. I feel like I'd love to get a look at Jenkins' sketchbooks, because I feel like he probably pulled a lot of that stuff just from his actual sketches. Like, he probably sketched himself sketching himself, one of those types of things where you, like,
right,
just sketch, you know, sketch the sketch artist. He was, like, hugely involved with the show. It wasn't like he just sold the characters and the idea. He went through with Nickelodeon, and he was like, you know, the story has to have a purpose. It's got to have a reason. And he was just, like, intricately involved with every detail of it. There is a
very big, very big on, like, introducing, like, morals.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, some sense of a story into a lot of these, which I don't remember, like, really paying attention to them, like, when I watched the show originally. But, like, now going back, I was like, oh my God, like, you know, he's wrapping up everything with a nice neat bow.
But it was subtle enough that it wasn't just, like, the big moral stand at the end of, like, a Thundercats episode or a G.I. Joe episode with a PSA about, like, not doing drugs. It was at least folded into the story itself. So it came about in, like,
I mean,
a character interaction or a moment of dialogue or an action that they did. It wasn't just, okay, that was a fun episode, let's tell you what not to do and what to do correctly. So it was
yeah,
fun.
I mean, I thought that was a risky choice, like, you know, that they had, like, a lot of episodes where Doug was just like, yeah, you should do drugs. Like, why not?
Yeah, that was a little strange. I mean, Porkchop the Pusher.
I mean, kind of,
yeah.
I mean, converse to, like, you know, all those G.I. Joe and, like, Brave Star PSAs. Like,
oh,
these were just like, Doug was like, yeah, I'm going to see the Beats. He's like, oh, my God. Roger's like, let's just drop acid.
He's like, well, okay.
Yeah, all right, why
and
not?
And then the rest of the show is just their acid trip.
Oh my God, accurate. Kids, people listening, don't do drugs. Don't
I'm not, I'm all. Gonna, I'll tell you this, this is my New Year's gift to you. I'm not gonna tell people to do drugs yet. I'm gonna hold off in 2015.
I don't want you to do it just for liability reasons. I don't want anybody to
now
listen
that we're
to this
huge.
Like,
back in the day when no one listened to us, it was perfectly
right.
Fine, but now that we're huge.
I don't want anybody to, like, listen to Dave and just be like, you know what, Dave's a good role model. I'll
do all the drugs.
I'll just do a bunch of Crystal Twist.
Oh boy. and spin. Oh, man.
Oh, man. So, did we just sync up Oh Man at the same time?
I hope so.
Oh, my God.
I hope we did.
Get out of my head.
And into my car? Close enough.
Oh, my God. That was perfect.
So speaking of unusual music, you mentioned like scatting before for this theme song.
Yes.
I love this quote that I pulled from Wikipedia. It just says, after talking about how like involved Jenkins is, it says, this show's unusual soundtrack consists largely of mouth noises, which I love that description. You know, just mouth noises. It's nothing technical like scatting or beatboxing or anything like that. It's just like, no, it's mouth noises. So, yes, you too can make your own Doug soundtrack in your very own home with mouth noises. Yeah, that's pretty much like, all it was. It was just kind of like a beatnik kind of style to it. But then a little bit of brass came in, and it was fun. It introduces the characters as they kind of like walk across the page, and they're either doing like a tightrope line kind of thing across like a marker line, or they're peeling parts of the page back and coming in or running out, or... It was a lot of cool stuff, and it was a great way to introduce, at least visually, the different characters, which, well, before we get into them, how does this intro feed back into your theory about telling you in a condensed version what the show is going to be about?
I mean, I think it's very hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that this might be like an outlier in terms of, you know, how we would, or how I've been trying to kind of define a lot of this stuff. I mean, like, again, like, I know I keep hitting on like theme for a lot of these things, right. But I mean, it gives you a good introduction. Cause I mean, like you see very early on that it looks like, some of the characters like Roger Klotz, like you can tell that he's kind of like, you can tell that he's a bully in this. Like you can tell that like Patty Mayonnaise is sort of like the, like he's looking for her affection that like he has like some type of, he has feelings for her. Like you can tell that like Skeeter is going to be kind of like the goofball, like with him like swinging on that line and like
smashing into the screen,
face planting into the screen. And so, I mean, like you kind of get an idea, of like these main characters that are going to be in the show and sort of like a little bit of the personality. But in terms of like what we've mentioned about like, describing the idea, mm-hmm. Describing the show, the plot, like it doesn't really do that. It really just gives you sort of the umbrella idea of who these characters are going to be and how they're going to, personality wise, how they're going to interact with Doug throughout the show.
Yeah. And the tone, I think, too, because it's very playful, very imaginative and very colorful. So colorful, in fact, that you also find out that everybody in Bluffington has a radioactive skin and hair condition.
I
don't know. Like the Simpsons, I thought were bad enough with their jaundiced skin. This place, you're either electric blue. Doug's like the only kind of flesh colored character, and even his parents are like weirdly colored.
Like, I mean, I've looked at pictures of Jim Jenkins, and like, dude's got like a full head of hair.
Yeah, he's got like Doug's got like a Charlie silver, Brown thing going on. Right?
Yeah, he's got like a silver fox kind of thing going on, and it just looks like. It looks like Dave just has, or I'm sorry, yeah, Dave.
Wow.
It looks like Doug. Yeah, I know. I inserted right you in every.
Apparently, I need to go check my hairline now, folks. I'll be back in a minute.
You should, buddy.
No.
Plugs but like everybody, Dave. Like Doug in this show has just like these like just like wavy like just it looks like he has like onset male pattern baldness.
Yeah,
at the age of 11 and a half, and like just has like. Terrible, terrible hair, or just a complete lack of hair, you know. And then you look at Roger, and he's got like one tuft of like sharp, pointy hair, like red,
bright
sharp
orange, hair red,
on the side. And then he's got like another like patch next to it of just like thin, disgusting Doug hair. Like
I love the shave marks on his head though, because it reminds me that he just shaves his three quarters of his head.
I mean, I Skeeter had like that kind of like
he had Doug wispy, hair too.
He had wispy like post chemo hair as well.
Oh boy!
And then shut up. Oh. And then like Patty.
Well, he's not looking right good because Skeeter's electric blue. We need to focus on that for a second because and Doug's neighbors, the Dinks, are like both eggplant purple. It's a very strange town. But yeah, Patty Mayonnaise. Back to her.
But Patty Mayonnaise has got like this like full. Her and BB both have like. full luscious heads of hair. Mm-hmm. Like, well, all the ladies. I feel like the women on this show.
Same thing with Peanuts. All the ball headed kids all had little weird little tufts of hair. Charlie Brown had that little curlicue, but all the ladies had, you know, full helmets of hair. It's pretty good.
I don't know. I just like it was like looking back at it now. I focused on his hair a lot.
It's real strange.
It was so like spindly and like, you know, like if you like, you know, like if you go like we all had siblings, or I mean, a lot of people have had siblings, whatever. I don't know what I'm trying to say. People, like if you go back siblings, home, people, yeah, if you have a sibling and like you have like a, like I have a sister and like there are tons and tons of like dolls that she has from like, you know, when she was much younger. And like, you know, she brushed the shit out of those dolls to the point where like, there's not a lot of hair left on those dolls. And that's like, that's what Doug's head looks like.
Yeah, it looks like just a bristle brush resting on top of a pair of eyes. Like, there's not much to it.
It looks like if you shaved an armpit.
Ooh, yeah, I guess like, it kind of does. Do you remember My Buddy? This is going to be a toy segue. Yeah. I had a My Buddy doll as a little kid. I tried giving it a haircut one time, and obviously it didn't grow back. That thing looks terrifying now. Because he's just got like half a buzz cut until my parents caught me. So he's just got like these weird little like holes in his head and then like a little bit of cropped hair and then long flowing mullet. It's the creepiest doll you'll ever see.
Oh, God. Yep. That's horrifying.
Well, that's why I'm no longer a beautician, a hair cutterist.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes total sense. Mm-hmm.
Among other things.
I mean, to be honest, though, when you gave me a haircut, you did a great job with that.
Oh, my God. I really – this isn't neither the time nor place to share John Helter's barbershop stories, but hat tip to John Helter's barbershop.
Yeah, boy.
Ooh. So, yeah, let's get into these characters a little bit more. I mean, we've talked about Doug. We can probably talk about him a little bit more as far as, like, his family and maybe even in the context of the first episode where he moves into town.
Yeah.
You want to talk about his family a little bit?
I mean, yes, like his dad's a photographer. Mm-hmm. Like his mother is she a stay at home mom or is she just kind of like, she seemed very, I got a very hippie vibe from her.
Yeah, she did kind of seem like that. But I mean, the daughter was kind of the beatnik too. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, the daughter was like, Judy was like, you know, she was into theater. She was very theatrical.
Right.
And so, I mean, I guess I don't look at theater, having been somebody who's done a lot of theater, I don't look at that as like sort of like new age or hippie-ish. Like, you know, she was a thespian, I guess you would say.
Sure.
And so the mom kind of had like this sort of like new age, like kind of herbal granola feel to her, which I mean, like each member of this family has like their own distinct thing that they're going for. They have their own specific vibe. So that was cool.
Yeah, there was like, Phil Funny, that was the dad, and he was, hold on a second, I'm just looking up his character bio, and it says, Doug, Judy, and Dirt Bike's father. I don't know who Dirt Bike is, I'm assuming he came up later in the Disney version, because that sounds like a terrible Disney name.
Yikes.
But yeah, so he's a photographer, and then Theda, T-H-E-D-A, Theda Funny, mother, generally portrayed as a housewife, sometimes a working mother too. She manages the Deja Vu Recycling Center. And this is a great quote. Her skin is slightly brighter than Doug's. So there you go.
Oh, nailed it.
She's an outgoing environmentalist. So I don't know. She apparently works at a recycling plant sometimes. Yeah. I don't know if that's Nickelodeon or Disney, but there you go.
That makes sense.
So that's her. And we spend a little bit of time with the family. I mean, they're not just like introduced and then tossed aside. Like, he'll check in with them every once in a while, but we don't. You know, there are episodes where we spend more time with them or he gets in trouble or, you know, they have a moral lesson to tell him at the end of the story. And there's other episodes where they're just kind of there and they're just like, oh, hey, Doug. And that's it. So it's kind of nice. Yeah. It was kind of like realistic in that way that they weren't.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's like the hallmark of like a good show in the sense is that like they're not looking to include every character at every moment.
Right.
Like they're looking to be able to use them, I mean, when necessary or at least when appropriate.
Right.
You know, I mean, like a lot of shows will try to like interject every single character all the time, like nonstop. But I mean, like those characters have their own lives. I mean, like if you think about it, like in terms of like the universe that they built, mm-hmm. like in this town, Like, you know, everybody has their own thing. Like, everybody in Bluffington has their own thing that they're doing, and they're not stopping just to, like, you know, focus on Doug all the time. Like, so, I mean, you're right. I thought that was very cool.
Yeah. And honestly, they do that with all the characters. Like, characters will come in and out of frame and just kind of like say hi or invite them over for something later, or just very, it was very like realistic for as imaginative and as kind of like, this cartoon takes a lot of sidebars into Doug's imagination, but for the part where he stays in the real world is actually fairly realistically portrayed, aside from the electric blue skin and the terrible hair and things like that. The interactions are actually fairly well done.
Well, I mean, like, Doug, you know, here's like the funny thing for me was that, like, Doug, his standard wardrobe is like a white undershirt, a green sweater vest, and like just khaki shorts.
Just khaki shorts and big old honking shoes.
Khaki shorts and big old honking shoes. And like, I know that when I was in high school for like my junior and senior year, I wore a lot of sweater vests, and I don't know if that was influenced by my love of Doug at that point. Like, I don't know if it was like a subliminal thing where
did
I was
you go to
just
preparatory
like,
school or anything.
No, I went to public school.
Just public school, then yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have gone to my school wearing a sweater vest. I think I would have been, I'd have been dead by now. I'd have been in a ditch near the highway somewhere. I would have been on next year's episode of Serial. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yep.
I like that I'm laughing at the fact that you would have died if you wore a sweater vest.
Hey, I'm laughing too because it's 100%
true. Yeah, I mean, I wore them and I got picked on all the time.
Oh, I got you. I got you. I mean, by Roger Klotz.
Yeah, by Roger Klotz.
Oh man, what a character this guy
so,
is.
So I wanna know, like, if you could sum up Doug Yancey Funny in one word, how would you describe him?
Can I sum him up in like one name?
Well, no, I mean, like, I'm gonna share mine first. Like, okay. if I had to describe him
go ahead.
In one, I would say impressionable.
He's an impressionable youth.
Yes.
I would have said Woody Allen.
Okay.
Because he's kind of quirky. He's real awkward with the ladies. I don't think he's Jewish, but we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's no religious.
No, I don't think so. Maybe in later episodes, once Disney gets a hold of it, I don't know.
No, then he's just very—he's very Catholic from that point.
He's devout. yeah, I don't know because he's quirky. He's awkward. But people, they like him. They don't necessarily know why they like him. They're just kind of, he's just like a friendly guy, and they kind of like him. But he can be awkward socially and otherwise. But I just love how he goes through kind of his adolescence. Like, I feel like all of us do. There's always that kind of like second-guessing of yourself, and then you get, oh, I don't know, if somebody says you have a big nose, and you get like obsessed about that for a while, and it's like the worst possible thing. It's the end of your world. So he has a lot of that going for him. It actually reminded me of Pepper Ann. When I mentioned earlier that we were going to... Yeah,
it
reminded me of Pepper Ann. And I feel like those two would have got along pretty well together. Or not.
I feel like...
Well,
I feel like, I feel like if Pepper Ann and Doug, like, existed in, like, the same universe, like, they would have dated, or they just would have, like...
Awkwardly.
They just would have been so... Like, Pepper Ann would have been the aggressor in the relationship, and Doug would have just been like, okay, you know...
And then write about it in his journal.
Write about it in his live journal.
His live journal.
Eventually, it just turns into a live journal entry. Yikes.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't know if you could bring Doug back today. I feel like those two, they existed in their own times. Doug and Pepper Ann. I feel like they were done. It's over.
I feel like the reason that Doug was so successful is the reason that, like, when you in that moment, like, living in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And, like, really, you know, being born in the 80s and growing up and like, really kind of growing up and coming to your own in the 90s. The reason that that's so relatable is the same reason that, like, when you watch, like, Freaks and Geeks.
Right.
And it has that, like, kind of 80s, 90s vibe to it. You're just like, oh, yeah, like, this was my life.
This was me,
like, living during that time. Like, this is how I became the person that I am today.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yep.
So, I thought it was just very, it was very interesting. Like, I guess I don't remember from watching it, like, you know, I remember, like, very distinct pieces of Doug as a show, but I don't remember like a ton of episodes. And so going back and watching this, I was just like, the reason that I felt that he was so impressionable is that there were a lot of times when like the antagonist, Roger Klotz, like, and we can get into Roger, and I mean, he really is the antagonist. Like he just
stirs up trouble and picks on Doug. He's the new guy and it's easy and it's fun for him. Yeah.
And so like, he just gives him a hard time, and pretty much whatever Roger says, Doug takes it as like at face value and accepts it as truth.
Right.
And like half the time, majority of these episodes could have been over in like 2 minutes. If he just ignored Roger or went to the source. Like there was the episode where like they have the science fair, right. and
gets busted.
Roger tells Doug that he burned down like the science lab with his volcano.
Exactly.
Instead of Doug like fact checking all of this, he decides to go on the lam.
Yeah.
And like
just run away from home.
Yeah, and just
sort
runs
of,
away from home.
Until he gets hungry.
Kinda. And so like this was one example, but there are multiple times where Roger just constantly picks on Doug. And Doug is just such a, I don't know if he's being a good sport about it or if he just doesn't realize that like Roger's being a total asshole, but he's just kind of a lot of the times I think I wrote down the, let me see if I wrote down the quote, he just goes, "Very funny, Roger."
Yeah, but then you can tell that it like sinks in and it's like in his psyche now and it's bothering him. It's like festering.
Yeah, but and that's like how he deals with it, is just to be like, "Very funny, Roger." And then he just like sits there and is just like,
I'm
going to write about this asshole in my journal.
Yeah, right? Well, let's go through like the episodes because I'm just looking at them now. So Sean and I watched the first three episodes. Now, the first one has a half an hour all to itself. It's when Doug shows up in Bluffington. The other two are split into two different sort of like 12, 15-minute mini episodes. In every single one of these, so in all five, Roger is the antagonist. I don't know how that continues throughout the rest of the series. I don't remember specific moments. There are times where it's just like Doug and Skeeter want to go to a concert or whatever. They want to go to a dance or whatever. But like, okay, in the first episode, Doug bags a nematode. He's a new kid in town. And Roger kind of like takes him in. He's like, "Hey, new guy." He's like, "You can be, you know, you can really get in with the in crowd here if you go after one of these nematodes," which is obviously a made up thing.
It's like, did you ever go to like camp?
No, I didn't, unfortunately.
Okay, like I mean, I don't know if it was like a camp thing, but I felt like there was always like maybe one of this like I don't know what you would call it, but a lot of times people called it like a snipe.
A snipe, yeah, a snipe hunt.
Like something like that. Right. Like a snipe hunt. And so it was like one of those things where it was just like, you know, it's a made up animal that people would tell you that you had to catch, or they'd send you out in the woods like late at night. So yeah, exactly. And so a snipe, as we would know it, or snipe hunt as we would know it, became the quest for Doug in this first episode to find a nematode.
Yeah, and again, the important part is all because Roger told him to. Like this kid that he just met, this kid who obviously looks like he's from the wrong side of the tracks, to hold you, go bag this nematode, and here's how you do it. The next episode, he tells him not only that he can't dance and that he looks funny when he dances, then, like Sean mentioned, in the second half of that, he tells him that his science experiment burned down the chemistry lab. So he's antagonizing it both times. Now, it's funny because Roger usually gets his comeuppance in each and every episode. So something happens to him at the end of the 10 minutes or whatever to make him look like an asshole that he is. But he never learns either. So neither Klotz nor Doug are all that smart. Because they don't learn.
Yeah, nobody's really learning. Yeah. I mean, like, as much as the lessons are interjected into this, I feel like a more appropriate use of the show Doug would be to kind of apply those lessons that Doug was trying or at least attempting to learn. It should be applying them towards making Roger into a better person.
Yeah, they should all have helped him because he runs around with a couple cronies. I think one's named, like, Stinky. I don't remember all their names, but he runs around with these cronies that they're just kind of his lackeys. But at the same time, they don't really respect him as a leader either. They just kind of hang out with him for fun, and then when he gets in trouble, they just kind of leave him alone, leave him hanging. But he has an interesting arc that kind of develops later. He has a couple moments where they're actually showing like his vulnerable side. I remember that from a couple, just from memories. I don't remember the specific episodes, but they show something that happens to him where he kind of gets made fun of, and he sees the other side of things, and then they kind of, you know, put their past behind them, but they still have this contentious relationship that kind of continues on, maybe into the Disney years. I don't know, but yeah. On the flip side of that, though, well, anything more from Klotz?
No, no.
Except the fact that he was also voiced by Billy West, who also voiced Doug.
Doug, for the series,
which is great.
I mean, yeah, which is, I can't imagine what that must have been like in terms of just being in like the booth, like recording. They're like, all right, we're gonna record Doug, and then in like, you know, 5-10 minutes, we're gonna record you bullying yourself.
Exactly. I feel like Billy West, though, he's so talented, he could probably just flip back and forth and read them live. Like, he could just flip back and forth.
Yeah.
Because he also did Ren and Stimpy. He did Ren and Stimpy. Yes. So, yes. I mean, he's got to be fairly well practiced at that, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I'm just waiting. Like, is there ever, like, listeners, has there ever been a cartoon where Billy West just did every voice?
I've seen him at Comic-Cons and some other conventions and stuff, and he'll just run through all the voices he does and just have a conversation with himself. It's the craziest thing, because you've got to be a little insane to be able to do that. Not only incredibly
talented, but that man is a saint.
He is an insane saint.
He is an insane saint.
Insane saint. But yeah, so flip side of Klotz, we got Skeeter Valentine, who probably my second favorite character on the show. I think you know who my first favorite is.
Are you gonna say Principal Butt Savage?
Definitely not, but that's one of the best names on the show. We'll get to that. But yeah, Skeeter Valentine. I think he has a mental issue. He has some mental problems. What do you think?
He's definitely on the spectrum for autism.
Yep.
I mean, he is all over the place. Like he doesn't seem to really kind of like focus on anything, or when he does focus on something, he does it to like the nth degree where it's creepy.
At most extreme.
And you're just like, ooh man, like, and just knock it down a notch, bud.
Yeah, like if Doug tells him to like stay put and he'll be right back, like Skeeter will literally just freeze there for an hour. Yeah.
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 Ugh, weird.
I do like when he tried to dance though and he turned himself into a pretzel. I wish
that was great.
We should have Baron. We should videotape him learning to dance from Skeeter. I feel like he has to do that dance. He'll probably like throw his back
he'll
out or something.
It.
No, he'll throw his damn back out. Get tied up in a knot.
Throw his damn back out.
Oh boy. But yeah, so Skeeter's the one that does all the honk honk. He does all the weird mouth noises, as they say. Which I guess that was just a thing, maybe that the voice actor decided to throw in there, Fred Newman.
Yes,
I guess he just kind of threw that in there. I don't know, but I think they're great friends. They're like great best friends. They can joke with each other and laugh. They can have tough times and come back and be better. It's a great friendship.
I wrote down, the note that I took was that Skeeter is the best friend that everybody wants to have in their life. Like, he's there for you every step of the way. Like, and he doesn't, like, there's no judgment from him. Like, he just wants to be involved, and he wants to just be cool with it.
Do you remember how they met? Which I loved their kind of meet cute. It wasn't like, you know, he saved them from a bully or this or that.
So episode one, they meet in the Honker Burger. And Doug is attempting. This is what I don't understand, is that any fast food restaurant that you go into, especially Honker Burger, they have a fucking menu up there that says, like, this is the shit that we have. Like, these are the things that we have. It's like, if I go into an In-N-Out, I'm not completely blown away by going into a new In-N-Out. Like, they're on the West Coast, I'm on the East Coast. Like, I don't go into an In-N-Out and I'm totally confused. I look at a menu and I'm just like, yeah, I'll get a double-double.
See,
like,
but I think now that you brought In-N-Out up, I feel like if you walked in and didn't know, this is like if you walked in and didn't know their secret, quote unquote, secret menu. I feel.
But
like,
did they not? But I mean, I wouldn't have been ordering anything monster style or a grilled cheese sandwich.
No, you could have been
I mean, can I have you guys make a grilled cheese sandwich?
He ordered
burgers and a fucking fries and a soda.
I know, like onion rings, no pickles.
That's not so fucking preposterous. That's not so fucking insane that like you would sit there and just be like, I don't know. I was a little bit frustrated by that.
It was weird, but I loved it because it introduced Skeeter's kind of personality and style, and also just kind of the weirdness of this world where, like, yeah, Doug basically walks up and he's just like, I need 4 burgers, 1 with no pickles, 1 with onions, and then 4 chocolate shakes. And she's like, I have no idea what you're saying. Like, I don't understand a word you're saying.
You work at a fast food restaurant, bitch. Right. How the fuck do you not understand what the hell that means?
Sean just got so aggressive right now over this.
I just got really angry about that. Like, it was like one of those scenes where I was just like, you are a customer service representative for the Honker Burger. Like, if somebody was there, I would have at least attempted to help them through the process of ordering something.
That would have been great if Doug was just like, I need to speak to your manager. Yeah. Just like grown up Doug.
I feel like if Doug ever went like insane sociopath and just shot up the town, oh, that's like
one.
Where he would
she's
start.
The first one to go. Yeah. It's like falling one. Down. Yeah. She's just right to the honker burger.
Just defense. So just.
But yeah. Okay. So back to Skeeter. How does he introduce himself to Doug then? Because Doug's having a real moment right now.
Right. So Skeeter comes to the rescue and assists him in the ordering process and orders the proper burgers, fries, and shakes that he needs from said honker
burger. With the proper nomenclature, yeah.
With the proper, yes, exactly.
And then she's now I know what you're saying, crazy people.
Asshole.
Yeah, she's the worst. But, I mean, that's a great kind of meet cute because it's like he just comes up, he's just helping a dude out, and then
Did you say meet cute?
It's called a meet cute. If you watch any romantic comedy, whenever the lead actor and actress in the film have their first meeting, it is called a meet cute.
I heard meet as in like M-E-A-T, like because they were ordering hamburgers.
Well, I maybe tried to slip that pun in there, but it doesn't work when it's only audio. And
I mean, you did it. You did it.
Yeah. I did it, guys.
You did it, guys.
I did the puns.
Meet cute. But yeah, I mean, like it shows Skeeter's willingness to really kind of embrace an outsider
and
make
his friendliness and his character, and he's not like he doesn't take himself too seriously, and he's not shy at all. But he's also like a good-natured guy. Yeah.
I don't understand why Skeeter isn't on like the Welcome to Bluffington.
Yeah, just the big sign
like,
up front.
Yeah, like I don't understand why he's not part of the welcoming party because like Mr. Dick.
Oh my God, we just talked about that.
Doug's neighbor. Yeah. Yeah, let's.
Well, hold on. Can we go back to the sign first? Because I love the fact that as you drive past the sign, it has like a spinning counter on it that tells you the population. So as the car of, did they count pork chop or not?
I don't know.
I don't think they did. But I just love that there's like a big brother eye in the sky that's watching and knows when you're coming to town and it just like automatically rolls over. That was pretty funny. But yeah, Mr. Dink. Yeah. Mr. Dink is also one of my favorites, but not the top.
So Mr. Dink is the really Mr. Dink was your favorite?
No, I just like his little laugh.
Boy.
Hello, Douglas. Very expensive.
I wrote down my note for Mr. Dink was, what a jerk.
Really? You think he's a jerk?
He's the guy that would pose a question to you where you would answer that question 100% correct, and then Mr. Dink would change the fucking question and tell you that you were wrong every time. Like, he seemed like the most boastful because very expensive.
Very expensive.
Like, what?
Yeah.
What a fucking, like, braggart dick. Like, just shut up. Like, I'm not asking to borrow your crap. I don't need to know how much you spent on it. Like, I don't give a shit.
I feel like he's just kind of that, like, nosy neighbor that always tries to one-up you, even though he's the only one playing that game. Like, if you get a new car, he goes out and buys, like, three. And you're just like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, I'm wondering if, like, in the Disney years, if, like, Tippi, his wife, had just decided that she had it and just fucking left
just
his annoying ass.
I think she just murdered him in his sleep. Just spilled his purple blood everywhere.
It's like Tippi just wearing
have, like,
a
circulation
mask
problem.
Over her face.
Oh, Lord. She's just wearing a Mr. Dink suit walking around.
Douglas! I will say the funny thing was that I think it was episode... I don't know. I think it was episode 3. Mm-hmm.
Where he's jogging?
Yeah, where he's jogging. He's got like it looks like he's got like the first wearable technology on him.
But it's like a satellite dish and like a control panel. And,
it's like the first Fitbit that like is over his entire body and like reading all of his like biometric readouts for the sake of his health and safety, and it's just like, and you just see Tippi over on the side just rolling her eyes like for days. Because she is not interested in this shit at all. And I don't blame her. I wasn't either.
We should have an episode that's just dedicated to, like, cartoon neighbors. Because now that I'm just thinking about, like, the Nicktoons, there are a lot of hilarious neighbors. The ones from Rocko's Modern Life, the Toads.
There are a lot of cartoon neighbors.
Cartoon neighbors. Yeah, good stuff.
I definitely think it merits further investigation.
Yeah, further investigation. We'll do a spinoff series. Okay, cartoon neighbors.
Oh, So
yeah, go ahead.
We have the Dinks. Yeah. You know, we kind of have been jumping in and out of like.
But I think that's fine.
Episodes and characters. Yeah, I mean, because like you know they really kind of work in and out. The one big character that we haven't talked about yet that I think is like essential is that we really haven't gotten that much into Porkchop.
Yeah, there we go. That's my favorite. He's my favorite.
So Porkchop was your favorite. Porkchop was my favorite as well.
Hands down favorite. Everybody.
And it's not just because he was a dog.
You love dogs though.
I love dogs. Shut up. You love dogs too.
I do love dogs, especially ones named Porkchop.
Especially ones named Porkchop. I did get a little bit weirded out during the one episode called episode 3. It was the first half called Doug's Dog Date.
Yeah, a little creepy.
There was a little bit of like a really strange, overbearing dependency that Doug has on Porkchop. It blurred the line between like it's an unhealthy relationship. When both are not 100% invested in what's going on.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that Porkchop and his lady dog friend got a little sexy. I thought that's where you were going with it.
I know. I mean, like, they definitely got a little bit
that,
sexy.
That lady like, dog was a real bitch, though. You like that?
I know. Haters, that did.
Dog
I love
puns.
That was a good dog pun, bud.
Dog puns.
But, like, it really was, like, it just, there were moments where, like, Doug, for me, blurred the line in that instance of whether or not he considered Porkchop to be an actual human being.
Oh, he super did. He was, like, obsessed at one point.
Or whether or not he's, like, the family pet. Because, like, you watching the show, like, you get a very distinct impression that, like, he – I mean, like, obviously, if you have any animal, if you have any pet, it is a member of your family.
Right.
And you love it as such. But, like, the level of – I guess just the pedestal that Doug puts Porkchop on at some moments is unhealthy.
Well, let me come at this from another angle, though, because Porkchop is not just like – so he's not like Santa's little helper in The Simpsons. He is, you know, anthropomorphized. He puts on clothes. He lives in an igloo. He dresses up as like, you know, with Doug's imagination. He's like his sidekick. He's his buddy. He's you know, his best friend. He goes back and forth. Doug will say to Skeeter, he'll be like, Porkchop's my best friend. And he's like, well, my non-human best friend. And then to Porkchop, he'll be like, Skeeter's my best friend. Well, my human best friend. So it's like he's got Porkchop and Skeeter. And Porkchop, he's pretty badass. Like, he helps him, you know, make fun of Roger, or he helps him out in different situations. So the one time that Porkchop kind of, like, wants to run off and do his own thing, yeah, I can understand why Doug's upset. Now, not to the point where he becomes creepily obsessed and is, like, turning down dates with actual human girls to go watch what his dog's doing. That was a little creepy. But you can understand that level of care because these guys are, like, best friends, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So I can see that. But I love Porkchop.
And I mean, just like, you know, as you said, like, he really gets involved in Doug's life and his fantasies.
Right.
Because they're, like, when Doug, later on, you find out that Doug has a superhero character.
Oh, how do we not talk about that?
I know, but like, because he's not in the first couple episodes.
Yeah, it takes a while for like the, and that's the stuff that I remember. So I remember the superhero, and then I remember the rock band, which I'm sure we'll mention.
Yeah, the Beats.
Yes.
And so, you know, which is like the Beatles. It's like their ripoff.
Yeah, they're great. And everybody loves Beats in this town, by the way. Bluffington is like huge on Beats.
Yeah, there's some really odd Beat references
throughout
this.
But it's fine.
I mean, I don't know. I like Beats just as much as everybody else, but the level of enthusiasm for this root vegetable was perplexing.
I feel like there's a whole history of Bluffington related to beets.
Yeah.
Like there's probably a beet fan
like,
of 78.
Like,
and
murder and beets.
Murder and beets.
Murder and beets.
Murder beets.
Murder beets.
Oh, boy. But yeah, dude, love Porkchop. He's probably my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, like, when Quail Man,
so that's
Quail
Doug's
Man comes
alter ego
to fruition,
right.
Yes, there's also Quail Dog.
Yes, of course.
So, you know, I mean, like, they involve each other. Like, there's no Quail Skeeter. It's just, like, Quail Dog and Quail Man.
Yeah,
like,
and Doug's got these other, kind of, like, alter egos. Like, oh, my God, what was his, the one where he goes on the lam? Jack Bandit?
Jack Bandit.
Yeah, he like pencils on this like creepy thin mustache, and he's like, "You'll never catch Jack Bandit." And it's just he just has this imagination that just kind of runs crazy, and he makes up his own characters that nobody else can see, but he kind of lives in that world. And I think Quail Man is probably what people remember most. I remember Pork Chop, Quail Man, and the Beats. And I can probably still remember Doug's songs and the Beat songs.
So, I mean, like, he had a couple. So, I mean, like, he had Quail Man.
Right.
He had Smash Adams was, like, his 007 James Bond character. Right.
Didn't he have, like, an Indiana Jones one?
It was Race Canyon.
Oh, of course it was.
Durango Doug was his cowboy persona.
Okay.
And his master of disguise was the Chameleon.
Oh, boy, the Chameleon. Yeah, I think Quail Man wins out of all those.
Quail Man was the best. Smash Adams is pretty good.
Smash Adams is good. Race Cannon, actually, they're all pretty good. Jack Bandit, they're all pretty good. Yeah.
But that was like the first. That was in episode 2, and it was really like the first foray into some of Doug's his fantasies. That it's sort of the foreshadowing that you would see is Doug's fantasies. So yeah.
Do you remember Quail Man's outfit, just to give listeners who maybe are not familiar with it? So you mentioned Doug's normal attire is white T-shirt, sweater vest, green sweater vest, and then khaki cargo pants and big honky white shoes.
So
what is Quail Man's attire?
Quail Man's attire is to wear a pair of white,
briefs.
Underwear, white brief underwear on the outside of your shorts.
Right, check.
You're wearing... Like on your sweater vest, you put a red Q.
Mm-hmm, got it.
You wear a red towel, a red bath towel as a cape.
Correct.
And a signature belt with sort of like a little flourish on the top of it on your head.
Yeah.
And that was Quail Man.
You're Quail Man.
There was no mystery or disguise. It was just like,
your face is just right out there with your giant nose. You're just hanging out there, Quail Man. And your dog looks exactly like Pork Chop, Quail Man.
Well, actually, Porkchop wore like sort of like he had like an eye mask top of it.
He had like the Lone Ranger mask or something.
Right? Doug gave zero fucks.
He wore his underwear outside his pants. I loved it.
Yeah. Boy.
Yeah, Doug does a lot of dress up. Like there's a scene where he goes to the dance and he's dressed as a slug and all kinds of fun stuff happens. But yeah, it's fun, man. I mean, do you have anything else from Doug before we wrap this up here?
Well, I mean, I kind of just wanted to ask you, the big thing for me watching this and having watched this as a kid and now watching this as an adult, or arguably an adult, is there anybody that you really identified? I mean, a lot of the show was like a very much of a cross section or like an amalgamate of like a lot of the different people that that Jenkins had met throughout his life, that Jim had had influences with. And so I kind of feel like a lot of those were like bubbled and distilled into this show. And so like watching it, was there anybody that you were like, oh my God, that was me?
That was me? Like anyone I personally identified with?
Yeah, somebody that you personally identified with.
Oh man. No, I don't think so. I mean, I think I saw sort of just like the different characteristics of each of the different characters in different people. You know, I probably saw a lot of Doug in myself, but then not really, because I wasn't really, duped by people. I wasn't really picked on. Obviously, I had, high school crushes and stuff that never came to fruition or whatever. Everybody does. I do feel like Patty Mayonnaise probably ended up being a lesbian. Just going to throw that out there. She's very, into the sports and had kind of that husky voice thing going on.
I mean, you can't. I mean... I mean, she was voiced by Constance Schulman, who she is Yoga Jones in Orange is the New Black.
Yoga Jones. Oh, really? Okay. Maybe I'll take that back. But isn't she a lesbian on the show? I can't remember.
I mean, they're in a woman's prison. Actually, I don't think she is in the show. Maybe she's one of the few characters. But she is that her voice is so distinct and wonderful that when I started watching Orange is the New Black, I was like, yes, you are fucking fantastic. You are fucking Patty Mayonnaise. And I was so excited for her to be on that show. She's a wonderful voice actress. Yeah. She's a wonderful actress as well.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm gonna agree to disagree with you on the whole lesbian thing. I think just because, I mean, the husky voice. And sports, I don't think that's not
Wait,
indicative.
What do you mean that stereotypes aren't always 100% true? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
That's what I'm trying to tell you, Dave.
You just blew my mind.
I know. I'm sorry.
I don't know anything anymore.
I'm very, very sorry. But yeah, I mean, she is athletic and strong, and she's also very feminine at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I think in terms of setting a good solid role model, for women watching this show, sort of like how Pepper Ann did. It was a very solid female to have in a show.
Definitely. Yeah. Age. I think also the Patty and her family, they probably winter in the tropics because she's always very well tanned.
She's super tan.
But yeah, I liked it though because she wasn't just like obviously the object of Doug's crush, but she was super popular with everybody else in school too. So everybody kind of wanted to be friends or be in a relationship with Patty Mayonnaise. But yeah. She wasn't like a mean girl. She wasn't a your typical kind of like even attractive girl because
she was kind-hearted. Like
she's very kind-hearted to everybody. She's very friendly to everybody. She was just nice all around,
right.
But like socially active and stuff. So it was a nice kind of. Something different.
I almost didn't hear socially active. I heard sexually active.
She was sexually active. Whoa. Everybody loved her.
Ooh, boy.
Literally. Yeah. Oof.
God.
On that note.
Constance Schulman, if you are listening to this, you are a wonderful human being, and we love you.
Thanks for listening, too.
So just please keep being amazing, and don't listen to Dave.
No, that advice goes for everyone. Don't listen to me. I just learned that stereotypes aren't real.
What?
My world is
crazy.
Do you recommend Doug for people?
I do. You know, there were one of the big things that I noticed is that there were like some like, maybe it was because it was like the pilot or the first couple episodes, but there were some like pacing issues that I had.
Yeah, dragged a little.
Kind
bit.
Kind of overall, like yeah, there was a lot of drag, and I wasn't. I wasn't getting as into it as I wanted to.
Yeah, same.
But I will say that by maybe like the third episode, like a little bit of the animation changed between episode 1, 2, and 3. So if you kind of want to see some of the growth, the evolution of sort of the animation of Doug Funny, it occurs within those first three episodes. And so I was excited to kind of get to that point. And I think I'll definitely, now that it's on Amazon Prime, I will definitely probably sit down and watch more Doug now that I know it's available. When you messaged me and said that it's available,
I'm so excited.
I'm so pumped for this. Like, I'm so glad that this is here. Like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, it's fun. It's nice to go back and visit. And honestly, yeah, I'll recommend it too because it does. It holds up. I mean, you're not going to go back and actually learn anything new. There wasn't probably a lot that you missed, but it does hold up. It drags a little bit, so like I would recommend watching the first episode and maybe like half of another one to see if you still really want to get into it. But these things, you can just watch a half at a time, and that 10-15 minutes is just enough. So, I mean, maybe don't marathon it unless you're really into it and want to check it out. But it still holds up surprisingly well. So, yeah, I'd recommend this one, too.
I will say there's a funny, like, some of the names for the episodes. Like, I know, like, in season one, there is an episode called Doug Gets His Ears Lowered.
Okay.
And, like, that, like,
old-timey talk.
Yeah, getting your ears lowered is like, an idiom for getting a haircut. And so, like, it was very funny because I know that in my life I have used that phrase. I'm like, I'm going to get my ears lowered. And people look at me like I'm insane.
Well, it's because it's old timey. And if you didn't have like parents or grandparents around that actually used it or like go to an old timey barbershop, then yeah, you would be like, what the hell are you talking about? But yeah, I like that. I like that.
But yeah, it was good. It was fun.
Yeah, check it out. Amazon Prime, where we're going to be for the next like 4 weeks. Because everything's there.
Yay.
Speaking of the next 4 weeks, Sean, what do you have coming up that you want to share with the viewers over the next month or so?
Oh, man. Where am I going to be? Yeah. Well, I'm going to be performing for the San Diego Improv Festival.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to be performing, I think it's the 8:30 or 9 o'clock show on February 20th. You can find more information. It's sdimprovfestival.com.
Excellent. Anything local going on in the next few weeks? Or are you guys taking a break?
We're figuring out our schedule. But we will have a bunch of shows in February, and then we'll have a lot of shows in March and April.
Cool. Well, now that the new year is upon us, guess what? There's a bunch of TV shows coming back from their winter breaks and hiatus.
Yeah, what are you reviewing, Dave?
Oh, buddy, here it comes. I got Gotham on tap. I got The Flash,
yes.
Arrow,
ugh,
Walking Dead, good. And Constantine for however long NBC lets it run on the air. I know, it's sad. But yeah, they got their 13 episodes in. I don't know how it's going to do, but I'm enjoying it. I think it's fun.
I love
it. Yeah, so I've got all those recaps and reviews over at Collider.com. So you can check them out there each and every week. Gotham starts back up again this week, and then they'll start rolling in over the next couple of weeks. So keep an eye out over there and come check them out, take a read, and let me know what you think. That's about it for me, though. Any other plugs for you, buddy?
I don't know. Dave, where can we find you on the internet?
Oh, me? You can find me on the Twitter at DrClawMD. How about yourself, sir?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Sean Paul Ellis.
He's always got to one-up me. I don't understand the Instagrams or the Vines or the Snapchats or the...
Don't worry about it.
That stuff.
Don't worry about it, Grandpa.
Oh, boy.
You can find more about the show at SaturdayMorningCartoons.com.
Get it right.
That's morning with a U. You can find us on Tumblr at SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. You can follow us on Twitter. It's Morning Tunes. And we've been pushing stuff out.
Yeah, we took a bit of a break over the holidays. We're getting back to it.
We're getting back in the swing of things.
Give us a break, guys. Stop yelling at us, too.
Yeah, God.
Give us a second.
And you can find us by searching Saturday Morning Cartoons on iTunes and Stitcher.
That was very well done, sir. Look at all those plugs.
Yeah, good times. I know. I'm trying.
Hey, buddy, guess what we're talking about next week, since I think we've already told people, but that's fine if you're still paying attention.
I think so, too. What are we watching next
week? Well, we're going to continue our New Year's Nicktoons with Rugrats.
Yeah.
I'm weirdly looking forward to this just because I don't remember how twisted the show was.
This show is a little bit weird.
It's real strange.
Yeah, I know.
But I think it'll be fun.
I mean, I don't know why I said that with like a sigh. I loved Rugrats, and so I remember watching this very fondly. I feel like this is one of those shows that sort of like Doug suffered from the fact that like they just didn't kill it. This was probably their most successful one, right? This went on for
170 episodes. I think it's second only to SpongeBob from the actual original Nicktoons. And they had multiple movies. They had, you know, lots of stuff.
They do like they do the grown-up years of like Tommy Pickles.
Multiple generations, which that I don't know. We probably won't watch those fellas, but we'll watch some of the earlier ones. I do want to try to sneak a Reptar episode in if we can. I love Reptar. So
love Reptar.
We'll see if we can get him in there. If you guys have any suggestions of like favorite episodes or favorite moments or anything you want us to cover, just give us a shout out and let us know, and we will do our best to cover that. Just got to let us know ahead of time. So, yeah, please do. We'll see what we can do. Awesome. Anything else?
Oh, no, that's it, David. Excellent. I'm good.
Well, thank you guys very much for listening to the first episode of Saturday Morning Cartoons in the year 2015. I did not cue up Sean's outro, so if you want to do you want to do a new outro in like Mr. Dink's voice or something? I don't know. What do you got? Put you on the spot.
I guess we could do David, Sean. Very expensive.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dink. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you next time.